Today we are going to play the good old game of which contract has aged like milk in the sun.
Your Locked On Flames, your daily podcast on the Calgary Flames. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Locked On Flames. As always, I'm your host, Jess Belmosto, joined by my partner in crime, Nick Zeraris. Nick, how are you doing today?
Like everybody else, happy it's Wednesday. We're getting there.
We're getting there, chugging along. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. I thought this time of year would be a fun time to revisit some contracts, ones that were questionable when they were signed, that being Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev, simply because of age and value. And I feel like it's an important discussion to have.
Oh, anytime you are not self-reflecting and working inward to try and understand how things and why things aren't working, you're making mistakes, because the best in whatever you're doing, whether it's sports, business, whatever, if you're not constantly looking at your process and trying to get better, you're not doing all you can do to improve your organization, whatever your profession is.
Yeah. And, you know, I think back to that off season, and it really was just acquiring Canucks. And Jacob Markstrom was offered more money by Edmonton and said, no, I'm good, and decided to sign with Calgary, which, I mean, thank you for that. I think that, you know, you're able to fill a void for the time being. And with Chris Tanev, it was kind of like injury after injury. And people were concerned.
So big picture wise, yeah, you talk about signing two guys who were 31 years old. They were, which was how old both of them were going into that season, which started in January of the following year, because that 56 game season started in late January of 2021. Yeah. You were signing two guys who were going to be 31 years old at the start of their contracts. That alone, you know, you take a pause. What positions are they? Goaltender. Okay, goaltender. You either age very quickly or you stave off the aging process for indefinitely. There's not really an in-between. There's not really a casual fall off at the goaltender position. Defensemen, especially defense-first defensemen, they typically don't age particularly well. They typically are pretty banged and dinged up from constantly being good at playing good defense. Requires a lot of physicality, requires being able to win loose pucks, retrieve pucks, turn around, absorb hits as you're trying to play the puck. So yeah, at face value, challenging, but at the same time, you need to look at the space the Flames were in. So you got to remember, they won that qualifying series round, whatever you want to call it, to make the normal field of 16 playoffs. They beat the Jets, and then they lost to the Stars in that first round, in the actual first round of the playoffs. Then, as that wraps up, you have to sit back and say, okay, what's our roster looking like? Well, you had Cam Talbot as your starting goalie, and he was an unrestricted free agent. You had only signed him for 1 year, so you needed a goalie. The Flames had been on the goalie carousel for a number of times. Before they signed Cam Talbot for that 1 year, it was David Rittich and Mike Smith for two consecutive seasons as the tandem. So at face value, I understand the allure of wanting to go from a tandem to a workhorse goalie, because typically the guys, if you can start them 55, 60 games, they're going to be better, because if you're not that good, you're going to end up in a tandem. Right. And then as far as Tanev goes, you think about it, and I wrote it down here. So going into it, the last couple of seasons, their most in ice time, Giordano, TJ Brody, Noah Hanifin, who they got for Dougie Hamilton, Rasmus Anderson, who's still looking for a foothold, Travis Hamonic. So Travis Hamonic and TJ Brody were both free agents after the 2020 playoffs ended. They signed with different teams. That means you have two holes in your lineup. You also look at Giordano, who's up there in age at that point. 1 year, 2 years remaining on his contract, made him available in the expansion draft, which probably part of the calculus of saying, hey, we need to bring in at least one more defenseman, and they actually have to be able to play because we're going to lose high-end guys here in Brody and Giordano and Travis Hamonic, who played more of a specified role than played more of a specialized role as opposed to somebody who played a lot of minutes. But still, you need bodies to fill out your lineup, and this is somebody who'd shown an ability to be an above average, if not borderline elite defensive defenseman. Whatever you got offensively was a bonus because of how good he was defensively. So at face value, all of the situational factors going on, it makes sense why they did what they did at the time.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I don't think it, I mean, yes, it's fair to just, you know, immediately jump to, you know, the bigger picture, but think back to where the Flames were. That it was an entirely different roster. You still had Sean Monahan, Gio, obviously Gaudreau and Tkachuk. Like, that was a time when people were saying, blow up the core. And, I mean, they did, just not in the way we were hoping.
So, yeah, that's another component of this argument. At the time, the Flames had made the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years and felt we've got a few young guys we feel like we can get more out of. That this isn't – that we might be kind of locked into this group, but we feel like this group can get to a better place. It can produce more. It can be more effective. Mm-hmm. And that's the argument for going out and spending money in your free agency, because typically speaking, and we're going to talk about this in the last segment of the show, free agency is for ironing out your details. If you are trying to acquire major bulks of your team in free agency, you're going to end up capped out, because guys in free agency are always going to be more expensive than guys you draft or guys you trade for from other organizations, because they're cost controlled, which we'll talk about more in a little bit. But yeah, based on that, it would have been negligence to say we're going to go with a tandem goalie if we can get a goalie we feel has a chance to be really good. And that's really the first argument here as we wrap up the first segment is Markstrom is a workhorse goalie, you know, start 55, 60 games. That alone sets you up better than a good half of the league who play, a pretty close to a 50-50 split, if not maybe 60-40 split. So you get that out of the way. You got your workhorse goalie. You feel pretty good about that. Then you go out and get a defensive defenseman at a number that's not insane, only $4.5 million per. So it makes your team immediately better. And these are calling Markstrom a stopgap is probably unfair, because they had high expectations for him and he had a really good year. He's had good production there. But Tanev, you know, Tanev fits more of the bill of the free agent stopgap for the 4-year deal at the cost he was at the age he was at, knowing you had guys like Chillington, et cetera, in the pipeline who maybe not ready right away, but in a year or two would be ready to take roles. And ideally, yeah, that's the way to do it. If you need to figure out a specified role, you'd argue that what they did with Tanev is the ideal use of free agency. You didn't tie up significantly long-term. 4 years for a 31-year-old is reasonable. You probably would only want to do 3, but the sticking point for getting the deal done is probably that 4th year. Yeah. And that alone means you probably can say definitively that you definitely didn't lose on the Tanev deal. You may end up losing on the Markstrom deal because it's got 2 more years on it longer than Tanev's, and you still don't know what Conroy's going to end up doing with the goaltending situation, which is something we'll have all summer to talk about and debate the merits of which argument. But yeah, at face value, you understand what they did, why they did it. The process makes sense.
Absolutely. And coming up next, we are going to evaluate Chris Tanev and Jacob Markstrom's tenure with the Flames. But before we do that, let's take a quick break to talk about FanDuel. FanDuel is the number one sports book here at Locked On. And with the No Sweat First Bet, you can get up to $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't hit. That's a pretty good deal. And the NBA playoffs the finals are coming up, as well as the Stanley Cup final. So why not head on over to FanDuel.com or the app today and place your No Sweat First Bet with just the security knowing that you're going to get money back if your first bet doesn't win. So it's a win-win situation here. I am not good at sports betting because I bet with my heart and not my brain. Nick is more of the logical one here. Who your prediction for the cup final?
I'd probably take Vegas for the series. I don't know what the price is. I'd imagine Vegas being the one seed in the West probably has better odds. If you're buying in on the Cats, by all means, you probably get a really good number on it to bet the Panthers to win the series. But yeah, I would bet Vegas.
Yeah. All right. Well, you heard it here. Do with that what you will. But you can head on over to FanDuel.com and get great promotions every day, a safe and secure app, and you get paid instantly. There is no better place to bet all of the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500, and that's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. And thank you, everyone, for sticking around with us as we make our way through the offseason here at Locked On Flames. And make sure you're subscribed because we're going to have content coming at you pretty much every day through July. So it's a great place to be if you don't want any thoughts creeping into your head. Just we're here.
Oh yeah, no. You can't have thoughts. Come on now. You don't want to contemplate things.
No, there can't be any silence because if that happens, then you start wondering, okay, you know, was I wrong to say that the Chris Tanev contract would be worse than the Markstrom contract? Yes, you were wrong and I was wrong.
It's complicated. Evaluating player performance is so challenging in hockey, especially because what happens around them, the environmental impacts on a lot of the stats we use we're still not at optimum efficiency in publicly available data in hockey the way we are in, say, baseball or football. Baseball especially has kind of gotten this down to a science because Major League Baseball is fully bought into the idea that fans want access to these types of statistics. I mean, that's why you hear spin rate, launch angle, exit velocity, all of the fancy stuff. And it gives you a deeper understanding of this, of how games are played out and why things are happening in certain games. But just at a snapshot, you feel okay based on what you had, based on where you started. And that's the other component of this that's part of this evaluation, is the Flames' goals 3 years ago when they signed both of these guys is not the organization's realistic goal anymore. When they signed these guys, they felt like the team was ready to make a leap and go into that that contender status. Now we're 3 years removed from that, and they're probably a first-round exit, if they're really lucky, a second-round exit next season. And that's a fundamentally different place than where they were when they signed these guys. So you'll have people who say, well, they didn't really win anything while they were here. Well, yeah, that's part of your evaluation, but the team around them also changed significantly.
Right. And I feel like that's just the name of the game too, because, you know, you look at any team and where they were 3 years ago, look at the Florida Panthers. Where were they? Were they even a playoff team? Were they even a wild card team at that point? I don't think so.
No, hang on. This is terrible radio while I look this up, but
but it just changes. Your goals always change, and that's good. You want them to shift into change. Yeah, you'd like to make that forward movement and progress, but that's not always possible.
Yeah, no, Florida lost in the fake first round of the playoffs in the bubble playoffs. Whenever I look at that, it's so weird that some teams played four series or five because the extra round to get in. But I digress. Yeah, every team is it. There is so much turnover in hockey. There is so much. It's very hard to maintain, let alone improve. Just maintaining alone is pretty challenging. So you saw it. The Flames won a playoff round, a Fugazi playoff round, lost in the first round of the real playoffs. The 56-game season goes off the rails. They get Darryl in there. They take a really big leap. They have a really, really good regular season. They struggle in that second round against the Oilers. Everybody takes a look around. You have your major foundational pieces. One leaves, one gets traded as an RFA leverage play. Okay, are we Stanley Cup contenders anymore? Well, probably not. No. And then you have the added insult of, well, Markstrom was just flat out bad this year. He wasn't even like average. He was bad. He was below league average in all the key statistics. And Tanev only played 65 games this year. So it really hard. You'd like to give them a mulligan on both. You get one more year of Tanev, and then Markstrom, like I said before in the first segment, still don't know. We're going to see what happens with him going forward. But at the very least, you feel like Tanev will play a semi-important role. Even when he did play this year, he was one of their better players.
Yeah, and I think that that's pretty significant considering how serious of an injury he was coming back from. I mean, it was like a separated shoulder and something with the neck. And I'm sorry. That's hard enough to deal with as an everyday person, let alone being 33, 34 years old and having a very physically demanding job.
Yes.
And being someone that's stubborn and will just obviously play through things. And that's a whole nother discussion. But I like what we've seen from Chris Tanev. I don't think it's, you know, been horrible. I think that he has, you know, bolstered the defense, and he was a great defensive pairing partner with Oliver Shillington rather. Yeah. And I'm interested to see how that works out again, if he comes back this summer or this fall rather, but the Flames should not fall apart and crumble with the absence of Chris Tanev.
Well, part of that was also just it took Mackenzie Weegar quite a while to settle in. Once he got settled in, it felt like the defense kind of figured itself out. And that's another component of this. Like, as stupid as it sounds, the NHL still values the righty-lefty balance of your defensive pairs. And you have Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar in front of Chris Tanev on the depth chart. And that makes it challenging for him to get more minutes. He's going to play PK because he's great defensively and Rasmus Anderson doesn't kill penalties. You're going to get him out there a third pair of minutes, or you're going to play one of those three guys I just mentioned on their offside to facilitate better protecting a left-handed defenseman who may be not as good, especially considering both Tanev and Weegar are of the best defensive defensemen in the entire league, which gives you a real advantage that you have two of those guys. It's just a matter of keeping Tanev healthy. And that's also an added trickle down of this about talking about Markstrom is at the time you need to fill out your defense to give your goalie a chance. I think everybody, these playoffs have been very weird in that respect, where both the Panthers and Vegas have been getting consistently outchanced most games, where you have goalies like Aiden Hill for Vegas playing a significant role. And then all the way the other end of the spectrum, you have Bob, who's the highest paid goalie in the league. Goaltending is extremely complicated, but you want to do everything in your power to make your team, to bolster your goaltender. You don't want to rely on your goaltender. And that's kind of the difference for me, at least, in teams that say they're defense first. Well, no, you're not defense first. You just have a really good goalie, as opposed to, oh, we're actively making the other team's chances of creating offense more challenging. And that's something the Flames have been decent at the last couple of years. The defense leakier this year than the last couple. Also doesn't help the goalies letting in everything, but there's a balance to this conversation. There's a balance to the conversation.
Yeah, and that's just, again, the name of the game. You have to, and it's not going to be perfect or absolutely horrible. That's just, there is going to be a gray area. And I think that's where a lot of fans can kind of get lost in things because, you know, you might only focus on the good, or you might just, you know, perseverate on the bad. And contracts can age poorly, but you still got some good things out of those players. And even if you didn't win the cup, at least you did something.
Yeah, no, this is something we'll talk about in the last segment because it really speaks to it, what value you can extract from free agency, because it's an ever-evolving idea, and people don't like ambiguity. They like concrete, yes, no, white, black, red, blue, whatever you want to say, and that's all they're going to fall back on. Well, I believe in this, I believe in that, and it becomes really challenging because there isn't a clear-cut yes or no. It's ambiguous, and that's unsatisfying, but that's really how sports work.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just, like you said, that's how sports work. It's never going to be perfect, and just kind of the way that you may orchestrate it on PlayStation or Xbox. Unfortunately, we aren't general managers in real life, but coming up next, we are going to talk about free agency, what it is, who it benefits, and really why GMs are so comfortable overpaying. And thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us today on Locked On Flames. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Jess Belmosto and at Nick Zeraris. What's, like, the first bad free agent signing that comes to mind for you?
This is the Rangers forte. We could do, like, 2 hours of just bad Rangers free agent signings. Kevin Shattenkirk, Dan Boyle, Wade Redden, Scott Gomez, Chris Drury.
Yeah, I
could keep going, but yeah, Vinny Trocheck. I could keep going here. The problem the Rangers have in free agency is that they try to solve foundational issues in free agency, and they don't consider what makes people successful in other places. They just see, oh, this person was successful with Tampa, with Carolina, and just assume because they were successful there, if you drop them in your team, they're going to automatically be successful, being completely ignorant to the fact of what made them successful where they were. And that's something that's part of the free agent component that I think we get lost on. Because philosophically, when you think about free agency, to me, a lot of the bad contracts we see are because GMs are looking to buy credibility. They're looking to get success, get a acclaim, recognition for identifying things that the rest of us don't see. This is why they harp on intangibles and leadership and things that only they know. It's a way for the in-group to maintain power. Is, well, you're not involved. You don't understand.
You don't get to see what he says to the team during meetings and when they're down in the third period or second period. You don't see any of that. You don't see what goes on in the workout rooms.
It's a means of maintaining the power structure the way it is isolating people off, because you could say, oh, well, he's a great leader because he does this, he does that, or he's got great intangibles because he never gives up on a play. He's always throwing his body around. He's always the first person on the puck. But when you blanket say things like intangibles, like leadership, you're trying to be smarter than everybody else. And that's the first component. And then the second part is when you bring somebody in for leadership, for their intangibles, you are paying for things that do not show up on the stat sheet, which when these guys who often do not produce on the stat sheet, you get everybody looking at, why are you paying a fourth line center who wins 48% of his faceoffs $3.6 million a year?
David Backus.
That's exactly the type of thing that happens in free agency, because you're desperate to prove, hey, I'm not a bad GM. I can identify what makes guys good. I can give this guy a bunch of money and he's going to be magically better on my team, even though we play an entirely different style or our coach would have no idea how to use this player. And it's really frustrating because this is where you have a real breakdown in being able to articulate ideas. And I understand some of this is, like, you know, competitive, where you don't want to spill what your vision is for someone when you bring them in. But at the same time, you got to be able to give me something more than he wins faceoffs. You got to be able to give me something more than he's got a great motor. There is so much that goes into being a good hockey player. If you can only rattle off one or two traits and then we start talking about intangibles, I know you just got held up in the meeting. I know that agent was just sitting there with a cigar in his mouth, counting the money as you put it on the desk.
Exactly.
That's what free agency often feels like to me.
Yeah. It's like, when you go used car shopping and they're like, okay, well, this drives and has air conditioning. It has character, but it not much else. And unfortunately, you need more than just two things to make a hockey player and a hockey team succeed. And I think, you know, Blake Coleman was a smart addition to the Flames. I think he's been excellent on the Backlund and Mangiapane line, but he is one of those players that comes to mind. He isn't often on the stat sheet,
No, he's not a play driver. He doesn't make things happen himself. And that's really the one of the points of this is a lot of the guys you're going to end up with in free agency are middle and bottom six guys because they leave good teams that can't afford to keep them. Blake Coleman is a really, really solid hockey player. No elite traits, no problems, but he's never going to be a 30-goal guy. He's never going to be a 60, 70-point guy. He can be very, very useful in a specialized role. Tampa used him masterfully in that in the two playoff runs where they won the Stanley Cups, where he played a really nice role for them in the bottom six, killing penalties. But part of the reason why it becomes this type of money extraction process is the players are artificially, their wages are artificially kept down as part of the way contracts are structured in the NHL. You get drafted at 18. You cannot become an unrestricted free agent until you've played 8 years in the league or you're 27 years old, whichever one happens first. That alone makes it where when you get to unrestricted free agency, you feel an onus to, I got to get as much money as I possibly can because I've had my wages kept down as long as they have. This is my one real, if you sign an 8-year deal when you're 27, this is my one big contract. This is going to be the one that sets up my family in perpetuity. I cannot afford to not maximize my earning power. And that's why I always call it the free agency tax, which it's not an exact number, but usually $1 to $1.5 million more than a player's actually worth is what I call the free agency tax. Because more often than not, that's about how much more you're paying than what you're actually getting out of somebody. It rings pretty true. You can't, not exactly true with every player. Some guys do live up to the free agency hype, or they take a below market value contract where you don't have that free agency tax in there. But the way the league is set up right now, free agency is really the one chance guys have to make money. And it's why I don't begrudge them getting as much as they possibly can.
I was going to say, can you justify like GMs paying more in free agency?
Yes, because the alternative to that is what we've had in Major League Baseball the last couple of years, where free agency just kind of lingers until February and March, like when spring training's already started. And there's like everybody's looking at each other and saying the word collusion, even though like there's not an agreed upon. The owners are like, we're not signing players. It's a market driven trying to depress wages and keep these guys cheaper. That's the alternative, which that's not good for anyone either. So trying to find that middle ground of utilizing free agency smartly is really your goal. That really should be your goal. Is you really can't find building blocks in free agency all that often. And superstars don't hit free agency. The best opportunity you have to get an elite player is you trade for a restricted free agent or you draft and develop one yourself. Those are really the only two paths to getting an elite talent. You think about Jack Eichel, who already signed his long-term extension, who's in the Stanley Cup final. Matthew Tkachuk, who got traded, same thing. You think about what could happen potentially with Jason Robertson, who's a restricted free agent again on a cap-strap team. That's your chance to get an elite player if you don't draft one yourself. Free agency, John Tavares is the only one that really comes to mind. If you wanted to argue Alexander Pietrangelo, maybe, but I don't think he's an elite player. I think he's very good. I don't think he's elite anymore.
Yeah, I think that, you know, his time with St. Louis was kind of just that. It didn't necessarily carry over an age with him, but you know, I think come July 1st, this is like the first normal free agent summer we've had.
Famous last words.
And then we're cooked because we've got about a penny and maybe some lint for some cap space. So we're going to see some movement. And I think,
like we said yesterday, the Flames have $1.5 million of cap space and they need 4 more roster players at least.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I don't know where how you're going to get them. And, you know, I keep seeing people saying Lindholm to the Bruins, or Lindholm is coming or he's going to go to Toronto for Nylander. I'm like, these things aren't. No, just get off Twitter and just let the general managers handle this. Let the adults talk, because I would love to see Elias Lindholm in Boston. I don't care, but realistically, the Flames aren't making that happen without a roster player in return.
It's not doable. There is no, or unless you bought out Markstrom, and even that, you wouldn't save that much money.
No.
And then you'd be going in. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, if they didn't buy out Lucic, they're not buying out Markstrom.
Correct. Correct. That's another part. Good point.
Who also hasn't talked to the Flames yet, but said that he is willing to talk to them. So,
oh, I remembered one thing before we let everyone go about their day. I was reading it earlier in Cervelli's Daily Faceoff column. The Flames met with Gallant. They're not meeting his number. They're not going to offer him however much money he's asking for. So Gallant is out of the running for coach of the Flames.
Thank you for just making my day, because I was a little worried there. And part of me wonders if they would have paid him had they not had like $8 million tied up in Sutter. But oh well, we'll never know. And thanks everyone for sticking around with us through this wonderful evaluation of Chris Tanev and Jacob Markstrom. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Jess Belmosto and at Nick Zeraris. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, free on YouTube as well. I mean, if you feel obligated, if you want, you can leave a 5-star rating and a nice little review, because those really help the show. And Nick, do you have anything you would like to add?
I can't wait for the summer, man. I need to be outside more. I need to be in the sun.
Yeah. Less time inside, more time touching grass. That is the goal for the summer. And hopefully don't make any dumb trades.